fighting a deadly wildfire.
We are starting to gain some ground. We're starting to make some good progress out there.
President's threat over border wall money.
A shutdown could cost the party time and votes.
Quiet skies makes noise.
It uses a computer algorithm to spot flyers.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Indeed.com.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kathan. It's deadly and destructive. The big wildfire north of Sacramento has claimed at least six lives. CBS's Steve Futterman is covering.
It is still a very active fire, and it continues to burn. The Car Fire has now destroyed around 100,000 acres. But officials with Cal Fire say there are some hopeful signs. The winds are calmer, and flames are moving away from residential areas.
I think you'll start seeing containment percentages increase.
For some people, though, it is too late.
I was only going about 15 minutes.
The speed of this fire has shocked even veteran fire crews, and ordinary people have suffered. Ed Bledsoe left his home not thinking there was any danger. He lost three family members, his wife and two great-grandchildren.
I was talking to my little grandson on the phone. He's saying, Grandpa, please, you got to come and help us. The fire's at the back door. I said, I'm right by you, honey. Just hold on. Grandpa's coming.
Today, fire crews here hope to get more of an upper hand, but the danger is far from over. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Redding, California.
All told, there are some 20 fires burning in California. CBS's Maria Villarreal has the latest on some in the Mendocino area.
These fires are being blamed right now for injuring seven firefighters and destroying six structures. Fire officials are saying that the weather conditions are improving in the area, which is helping firefighters get a handle on these fires and slowing the fire's spread. But there are other fires around the state that are proving to be difficult to contain right now. The Ferguson wildfire near Yosemite National Park is still burning after more than 2 weeks. And officials announced that Yosemite Valley in the heart of the national park will remain closed until Friday at the earliest.
Well, now to Washington, where President Trump threatened a government shutdown. And CBS's Nancy Cordes says that has Republicans up for re-election on edge.
I certainly don't like playing shutdown politics.
Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson was one of several Republicans this weekend actively discouraging the White House from courting a shutdown.
I don't think it'd be helpful, so let's try and avoid it.
The shutdown threat was a presidential attempt at hardball over his long-sought funding for a border wall. But the Senate's Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, said Congress may not be able to get to that until December at the earliest.
Is the funding of the border wall going to wait until after the midterm elections?
Probably, and that's something we do have a disagreement on.
In a string of weekend tweets, President Trump targeted special counsel Robert Mueller. White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy joins us with the latest on the Russia investigation.
Yesterday, the president tweeted he and special counsel Robert Mueller had a very nasty and contentious business relationship, adding he rejected Mueller as he looked to replace James Comey at the FBI. The extent of the business relationship Mr. Trump claims isn't clear. Separately, the president's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, told CBS News yesterday that 183 recordings were seized by prosecutors in the raid on Michael Cohen's office. On Face the Nation, Giuliani was asked why months ago he said Cohen was an honest and honorable lawyer.
How did I know? Why would I have not thought he was? I mean, I never had a bad dealing with Michael. I was being straight and honest. I didn't know that he taped conversations surreptitiously.
But Giuliani says he now hopes Cohen and his lawyers release all those tapes. He says they'll show the president broke no laws. Steve?
Information's emerging about a TSA program called Quiet Skies, which targets flyers who are not under investigation and not in any database. Transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve.
It uses a computer algorithm to spot flyers whose recent travel activities align with things like visits to certain terror hotspots, known terror threats, or people who are on watch lists, actions that may raise red flags. Travelers identified by the computer are then analyzed and vetted by a human team. If there are what sources described as justifiable concerns, that flyer may be surveilled by federal air marshals. That can include being followed at airports and on flights and having their behavior monitored and noted for suspicious activity. It does not include electronic surveillance.
The CBS board meets today, and correspondent Anna Warner tells us the future of Chairman and Chief Executive Leslie Moonves figures to be a key topic after an explosive story emerged late last week.
They're talking about what they describe as serious sexual assault.
Ronan Farrow says he spent 8 months vetting the stories that appeared in the New Yorker Friday. They date back to 1985, before Leslie Moonves worked at CBS. One writer, Dinah Kurgo, described to NPR how she believes she lost a television deal when she rejected Moonves' request for a private dinner in the early 80s.
The conversation ended, and he went from being very friendly to being really cold, and I never heard from him again.
The CBS chairman and CEO denies or says he doesn't remember many of the details in the report. But he did say in a statement, there were times decades ago when I may have made some women uncomfortable by making advances. Those were mistakes, and I regret them immensely.
Minneapolis police have released body cam video from two officers in the fatal shooting of a 31-year-old black man last month. He was shot several times from behind after a foot chase and what appeared to be a gun in his hands, Mayor Jacob Frey.
Transparency is a necessity in good governance. And although in the past video footage has not been released for sometimes a period of 4 to 6 to 7 months, we felt that the community wanted to see the evidence.
In Denver, a hospitalized patient has been isolated with what officials call a possible but unlikely case of Ebola.
If he had Ebola, then he could be very communicable to other patients and our staff. So we had no wiggle room to be wrong.
Connie Price, chief medical officer at Denver Health, says initial testing suggests it's not Ebola, but confirming test results won't be back till later today. Three individuals who came into contact with the patient are also in isolation. CBS's Jim Krasula has the story of one North Carolina community's effort to zero in on where there are drug abuse problems.
The Raleigh suburb of Cary is using robots to screen wastewater to help flush out areas of high drug use in town. The goal? Developing programs that target those locations.
It helps to kind of pinpoint where there's higher opioid use going on in a part of Cary than in other parts.
Chris Budnick works with recovering drug addicts. The fast-growing Raleigh suburb saw 70% increase in overdoses last year. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Cary, North Carolina.
Well, two Major League Baseball players have apologized for tweets that have surfaced from when they were teenagers. Nationals shortstop Trey Turner's messages were homophobic and racially insensitive. Braves pitcher Sean Newcomb says his, very similar, were, quote, some stupid stuff. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.